This is Unleash Your Inner Legend, a podcast featuring modern-day legends sharing their life choices, habits, and routines that got them to where they are today. Get ready to be inspired and to take massive action to unleash your inner legend. Hey, everyone. What's going on? Welcome to the Unleash Your Inner Legend podcast with Holly Kitchens, and I am so stoked today. I've got my homie, the one, the only, Todd Price, who is the CEO of Priceless Nutrition. He's an entrepreneur, a speaker, and just a badass leader overall. So welcome, Todd, to the podcast. I'm super excited to have you.
What's up? I'm glad to be here. Finally.
Finally. How long have we been trying to book this? It's been like
7 or 8 years now.
It's like dog year.
It's been a minute. We've both been busy. It's good. It's worth it.
Yeah, that's great to. We were just building up to this moment. We can actually sit down and chat. But yeah. Exactly. So I'm super excited to share your story with listeners because it's definitely one of inspiration. It's one that, like, you know, people see you and they're like, "Oh, well, I can't do that because I'm not Todd." But like, you weren't always the fantastic badass entrepreneur that you were. And let's just kick off this episode. Let's tell people about
I was a loser.
let's tell people about that. I want to hear all about loser Todd and then how you got to where you are to be winning Todd.
Okay. So growing up, I had a good childhood, best parents I could ever ask for. Still have my parents around. I'm blessed. Had a variety of, you know, different jobs starting off, and then straight out of high school, my first kind of like big boy job career, if you want to say, was in the gym industry, and which I've been working out my whole life. You know, the gym was always a passion for me, and obviously stress relief as well, and good for you. But my dad was always real big into the gym, so being with him, I'd always worked out and I just always wanted to take it to another level. And I think part of that was due to like insecurities that I had. And, you know, in high school, I wasn't the biggest. Now when I walk into a room, 99.9% of the time, I'm the biggest or, you know, the strongest, or I wasn't ever that guy. I was like the little fucking nerd toothpick kid. Like, so, I always wanted to work out. So I went into the gym industry, and anybody that's ever been in the gym industry will tell you that there's a lot of very successful people there. There's a lot of healthy, health conscious people there, but there's also a huge party scene kind of in that environment as well. And I wasn't aware of that. And, you know, I had no intentions of getting into that scene. And, but I linked up with some guys that I'd become friends with straight out of high school. I was like 17, 18 years old working in the gym. You know, they were a little bit older than me and bigger than me. So they were kind of like big brothers to me, looked out for me, taught me stuff in the gym, how to do this, how to do that, how to sell. And so I started hanging out with them, and obviously they were older and they drank and they partied a little bit. And it kind of took me down a wrong path, and obviously no ill will on their part by any means. But I went much further down that road than ever intended. And so long story short, I just took anything and everything I could to kind of, I've always had anxiety. So I think a lot of it was kind of like self-medicating, and my drug of choice was alcohol. So I was always drinking 24/7, 365, wake up in the morning, had to have a beer or something by my bed. If I was in a bed, a lot of times I was in a car or on a friend's couch or whatever. But had to have something to like calm my nerves. So I went down this long stretch of just not having anything, kind of ruining my life. And a lot of that time, I don't remember at all whatsoever. Still to this day, I have people come up and tell me stories of shit that I did, and I have no fucking clue, or they know me and I don't even know who the fuck they are. But it taught me a lot, and you know, I wouldn't change anything in the world, but I hit rock bottom. I went through a lot of rough times, like I said, and hardships and getting in fights and getting jumped. And I got beat with a wrench. I had 9 guys jump me and beat me with a wrench, and broke my jaw in 4 places, cracked my skull open. I got robbed. And finally, like the final breaking point, which was kind of weird, because I'd had all this bad stuff happen to me, but it was almost like I was never really concerned about myself as much as I was others. I always cared about other people. I never wanted to hurt anybody else. But I got in a hit and run. And so that was like my wake up call. And the next morning, I really started thinking, like, man, there could have been kids in that car. There could have, like, what happened if, you know, when I took off, if like the kids had gotten out of that car. Like, so I started having like all these crazy, just worst case scenarios of what if this had happened. And that was my wake up call. I remember breaking down to my mom and was in tears and was like, I will never, never fucking drink again. And I haven't since then. And so that was November 1st, 11 and a half years ago now. And
congratulations on that. That's amazing.
Yeah. So it was weird. It was crazy first starting drinking. I was talking to somebody about this yesterday that had called me and was kind of struggling. And, you know, part of it is boredom. And I remember like Friday, Saturday would roll around. I'd be like, what the fuck? Well, what do we do? Like, if we're not drinking or out partying, like, what do you even do? Like, what is there to do? And now I'm like, fuck, let me go home and get some rest so I can do this again tomorrow. But it was definitely a wild ride, but it taught me a lot, and I'm grateful for it. And it, once I had that kind of rock bottom moment, I went back into the gym industry. And, cause that was my roots. That was what I knew. That was what I knew how to sell. That was where I was comfortable. And, went back into the gym industry and started kind of taking over and just dominating, from a sales standpoint, and, yep. Got to where they were different gyms that I was at were moving me from one location to another to kind of, if one location needed help, they would move me to that location to bring up the sales there and to implement different training and this and that. So, but I went from gym to gym and eventually became a regional manager and was recruited from then different chains of gyms, until I ended up at a smaller chain. It was called Just Fitness. And, it taught me the most because of the fact that, and I was talking to Drewby about this the other day in Apex, but because of the fact that on one hand I was kind of capped out, but I appreciated it so much because I was directly under the owner. So I had 7 locations here, 1 in Alabama, and 7 in South Carolina.
Oh, wow.
And I would, same thing now, but I was in a bigger position of going around and implementing different training and processes and sales techniques to make sure that the numbers were where they needed to be and help continue education, make sure that the trainers were doing what they were supposed to do. You know, so I was implementing all these things, but working directly under the owner he wasn't a gym guy by any means. He was a multi millionaire that had done computer software. And one of the things that he had created was one of the software platforms that they use in a lot of gyms to keep all the memberships and barcodes and all that kind of stuff. So, but he wasn't a gym guy, didn't know about gyms or running gyms, or so he just relied on me heavily. And, but he taught me a lot of the business background and stuff of that nature. And, I think the biggest thing that kind of shot me to the, would you call me the badass Todd or the what? Yeah.
The winner Todd, yeah.
It shot me kind of to that level was he believed in me and relied on me. Like he really like, and I got this guy that's worth millions and I wasn't worth shit. You know, I came straight out of nothing and worked my way up to this position and still really didn't have much. You know, I had a car now and I had an apartment, but other than that, which was more than I had before, but other than that, I was still nobody. And but he believed in me, and he was like the first person obviously besides my parents, that actually believed in me. And so it kind of gave me this whole new sense of like, shit, man, if you got this guy that's fucking done all this shit with his life and is flying all over the fucking world and has all the money in the fucking world, and he's relying on you, like, you can do anything, you know? And so eventually, I went out on my own. He gave me his blessing. Obviously, I talked to him. I still talk to him to this day. He's my dad. He still comes in every 2 weeks to check on the gyms. He lives in Utah. And so every 2 weeks, he'll fly in. He's the same schedule that he had back then. And but he'll still talk to my dad, and he'll ask my dad how I'm doing and what I'm up to and this and that. But I think that belief is really kind of what shot me forward to know that, you know, I can go do anything. And even with that belief, I was still, when I started my own company, obviously I was nervous. I'd never done it before, you know, scared the fucking shit out of me. Because at this time I had just gotten married and we were renting a house and had been already kind of living paycheck to paycheck, but not really. And now I'm about to quit my income that was any like disposable income that we had anyways and live just off my wife's, and who made like $400 a week, maybe after taxes. And, you know, so we're picking and choosing what bills to pay, what not to pay, you know, do we eat, do we not eat? Like what the fuck do we do? You know? So we went through that for a long time. And then finally, when things took off, I told her, like, you never have to work again, you know. And we've continued to grow in different businesses, and I've started other businesses, and a lot of them have failed, and some have succeeded, you know, and the ones that have succeeded are the ones that people remember. So
100%, man, there's so much that I want to dissect on your story. That's incredible, and I appreciate you, like, really just going through the progression and the growth. So yeah, just kudos to you to understand and like acknowledge that like you had an issue or you had a problem, and then just taking the steps to resolve that. You know, one thing that I picked up on, you were, you know, and I feel like a lot of entrepreneurs, I know I am, very much high anxiety. So hearing that story and how you used to numb yourself, how do you now deal with that and cope with that? Because I don't think it ever goes away. And
no, I still have very bad anxiety. And I think a lot, and what's crazy is like none of my anxiety has to do with work. Like I don't stress out about work at all. Like, and if there's an issue, like with it, and people are freaking out, this person's this customer's that, I'm like, it's simple. Let me just call them and we'll fix it. It's not a big deal. Like, so I don't really get stressed out. I've just always had anxiety in general. And I don't know if it goes back to like asthma from when I was a kid, or like, which sounds really fucking weird, but like asthma and feeling like I couldn't breathe. And then like, I have severe allergies, as well as my daughter does now as well. So that's the bad thing she got from me. You know, I have severe allergies. So there's been times that like I've eaten something and can't fucking breathe, and it's the worst. So sometimes I'll get into like panic mode, especially if I'm on a flight. Like when I flew to Texas for this event, like I will feel claustrophobic as fuck and feel like I can't breathe. And sometimes I feel like that just random points during the day, not all the time. But I think the best thing that I can do is just stay busy. And I think that's why, you know, and I see you do a ton of stuff as well, is like, if I'm not thinking of new stuff or how to help this person or how to solve this problem, then my mind goes fucking bananas. Like, and so to keep it from doing that, I have to be like, I want to do this, and this. Like, I want more shit on my plate, you know? And I think it's just that and the gym, obviously, are my two biggest things to kind of help me resolve that issue. Because if not, if I were to win the lottery and just sit around the house, I'd be a nervous fucking wreck.
Yeah, so. I agree 100% with that. And I think that's where like a lot of people like that, you know, you could say it's maybe an addiction to work or an addiction to the gym, but I would rather have that addiction than any other kind of addiction that's going to make you have bad choices and do things like that. And I think this is kind of a cool, like, it's cool that you're able to openly talk about it, because I mean, for those listening in, if you guys haven't met Todd or you haven't seen him in person, dude owns a room. Like, you'll walk in and like you would never think that like you would have anxiety or you know what I mean? But it is about your mind.
It's terrible. When we got on the last plane, which I don't even like to fucking fly in the first place. I've flown 3 times in my life. And then we get on a plane and I have to wear a mask. And so I told the flight attendant, I was like, hey, bro, come here. I said, keep that fucking coffee coming because I'm not putting this mask over my face. So I'm going to be sipping fucking coffee this whole flight. So he did. But yeah, no, I have real bad anxiety. So I have to stay doing something, you know, or else I get bored. And then that's when
your mind starts racing, right? Yeah, absolutely. That's awesome. And, you know, one other thing too, I want to touch on about with your story is, you know, you said before, like, this guy believed in you. Obviously you said you had incredible parents. So that's amazing to hear that. But outside of that home life, you had a stranger, but somebody who was not part of blood relative believe in you. And I think, you know, I know so many people who have so much potential, but unfortunately they just piss it away because of excuses or whatever. What advice would you give to someone who's struggling the exact same place that you were? They have maybe an opportunity. Like, how do you open your mind to see those opportunities? And then also too, I want you to share too about networking, because you've got a stellar network pool that you connect with and people that you're, you know, just connect with in general. Like, I guess my question to you is, how do you see those opportunities? Take advantage, not advantage of them, but how do you jump on it when you see that? And then how do you keep those relationships alive?
So one question at a time. So the first question, my mind's already racing. So the first question was again.
First question is this: for someone who was in your shoes, exactly where you were when you met that guy that believed in you.
Okay. So my answer to that would be really to make sure that you're surrounded, and you really have to do like some soul searching and audit yourself and your friends or your coworkers or whatever, but you have to make sure that you're surrounded with the right people. Cause you have a lot of people that, you know, are just negative as fuck. And if it's in a work situation, it's, oh, well, you wouldn't have got that deal if it wasn't for me, or you this or that, but you have to be around people that are praising you. And whether that person or this person helped you or didn't help you or fucking whatever, or you wouldn't have sold that deal if I hadn't trained you, like, all that's fucking bullshit. Like, I wouldn't have ever sold a deal if I hadn't had people that trained me. Like, and those people wouldn't have ever sold a deal if they hadn't had people that trained them. So it all trickles downhill. We all learn from somebody, and we can all still continue to learn from other people. And you have to make sure that you're surrounding yourself with people that are trying to pour positive, not only trying to teach you things, but also trying to pour positivity in you. A lot of people just want to take. And a lot of people too are so scared to, a lot of people do see something good in you and they're scared to pour positivity into you or to teach you too much because you're going to be better than them. Yeah. Like, and that's the dumbest fucking thing I've ever heard in my life. Like, I want every single person I come across to be better than me, because if I can create 30 more me's, 40 more me's, whatever, then we have a squad of fucking unstoppable motherfuckers that can do anything, that can take over anything, no matter what the company may be, you know. But you just have to, I think you have to really sit back and audit your situation. And you know if somebody's, man, I'm just around the wrong crowd. All these people are just fucking negative as fuck. I'm the outsider, like whatever it may be. So I think you have to audit your situation and your friends or your family or your coworkers or whoever, and cut them the fuck out. If they're negative, cut them the fuck out. Because I was around a bunch of negative motherfuckers for a long time, and I just can't, like, that's something that stresses me out. Because I'm like, why the fuck are you so negative? We woke up today. Like, why the fuck are you so negative? You know? So I think that would be my answer to that question.
Yeah. I mean, that's a powerful, like, actually, I think you answered both of those questions in one. So good job on all of that. But, you know, I think that's another thing too, is like, people, you can get so stuck in an environment and not realize it's so toxic. I mean, I know so many people, I'm obviously not going to say names, but like, I have to snooze them on Facebook because I'm tired of seeing their negative shit. Even like people that I'm super close to, like, could be family, could be close friends or whatever. And I'm like, I cannot deal with that, because what happens is I'll start feeling that. I'll start saying those things. I start doing that. And I think, you know, everyone, you don't owe anybody anything. Like, I know a lot of people are scared to maybe unfriend somebody, or they're scared to not do this because they don't hurt somebody's feelings. But at the end of the day, do they really have your best interest at heart if they're like surrounding you with negativity, like sad, depressing shit whenever you actually have the opportunity? I mean, the crazy thing is, like, just hearing your story, you literally came from nothing and now look where you're at, right? So it's like everyone has the same opportunity as you. Like,
no matter where you're at, no matter where you start. And I mean, and really the most successful people that I know in any industry, I mean, look at Stuman, look at Tracy Cusino, look at, I mean, the list could go fucking on and on. All have a background, all have, and the things in common are one, they surround themselves with positivity and they don't have any excuses. They're willing to do the work to make sure that they get where they want to be. They have a clear, defined, this is what I want, this is what I want, and they do what they got to do to get there. And the other thing is that they are open about who they used to be, with their past, this, drugs, abuse, whatever the fuck it may be. Like, because not only does that show how much of a drastic change that you've made, because anybody can be a millionaire if you, especially if you're born into it. But like when you make, it's not about like how you get to, it's like the distance that you came. So I think sharing your story is huge, especially if you have issues like that, or you face these troubles or things of that nature. But two, it can be motivating to other people, because that's the other thing. I feel like there's so many people out there that just kind of throw up their hands and they're like, well, fuck it. You know, like this is, and that's honestly, that for me, a long time, that's how I thought my life was going to be. It was just every day, like, fuck it. This is just how I live. And maybe one day I'll get lucky. Maybe one day somebody will hire me here and I'll catch a break. And like, you know what I mean? And it's like, no, like you got to go out and just, people do get lucky and shit does happen. And
I'm a firm believer of like, there's no such thing as luck. It's opportunity plus action. Like you see that opportunity and you take action, and then that's quote unquote luck. But you're so spot on too. And I think people have to have that understanding of the high level awareness of it's a choice. You can sit there and be poor, pitiful me, throw your fit and whatever. But you know, the names that you've mentioned, Tracy, Ryan, all those people, they didn't forget where they came from. And they're very transparent about that. But also too, I would say adding to another thing too is investing in yourself. I mean,
you're the main fucking source. You're the main source of whatever you're releasing into the world. So if you're not investing in yourself and you're not happy or satisfied with who you are, you're not going to be able to sell anything, believe in anything, help anybody, take care of anybody. Like you have to take care of yourself first and foremost. I mean, and sometimes it sounds greedy or selfish, but you have to be selfish in that aspect, because if I'm not happy, I can't provide for my family or take care of my family or be clear-headed when I'm playing with my daughter or my son, because I'm thinking about some other fuck shit over here. Like you can't do that. And to go back to the whole Facebook thing and like delete the fuck out of them. Like if you're not like providing, if we're not providing each other value, or you're speaking, especially if you're negative, just negative this, negative fucking this, hater this, I delete them.
You have some haters. We've seen some haters.
Yeah, it don't matter to me. just on Facebook, I promise you. But they, I have to delete them. And it's because the last time I actually said this, and there's a clip somewhere on Facebook from the last time we spoke together at the event over in Lawrenceville was, you know, Facebook shows everybody everything, which I try to explain to my dad. He still doesn't get that, but Facebook shows everybody everything. So if I like something of yours and my dad's not friends with you, he's going to see Todd liked this person. So everybody see everybody's shit. So if somebody has something negative that they post, and then all of a sudden somebody clicks on that person is like, what the fuck? And they see, oh, Todd Price is a mutual friend. I don't want to be associated with that shit. Like with the fucking negativity and drama. Like I want all positivity. And I know it's not all rainbows and sunshine all the fucking time, but you have to, you have to have your head on straight to know that you're not going to bitch about those times when it's not, and you have to go through that suffering or whatever it may be. It's just like working out. I relate a lot of things to working out. I know that if I want to get bigger and working out, I have to sweat, I have to hurt, I have to go through some painful sets, or I have to diet when I'm gonna be hungry a lot of the fuck, whatever it may be. You have to go through some suffering to reach that goal. And if you're not willing to go through it, then that's fine. You're not gonna get there, that's fine. But don't bitch about it.
Yeah.
Like, so you have to pick and choose. And then don't be mad at the people that do, that are willing to take those risks, that are willing to go through that pain, that are willing to sacrifice this or sacrifice that, you know. And everybody's got certain things that they're willing to sacrifice and others that you're not willing to sacrifice, you know. So, and that's fine, but you got to do what makes you happy.
Yeah. And one thing too, I want to pull up from your story is, like, you had said, you know, you didn't just have one business, multiple businesses, and you admitted to, you like, some of those businesses failed. So I think that's too, is
I've had more businesses fail than I've had success. I've had a fucking
fun. Look how successful you are, right? So I think too, that's one thing, is like people who are starting out on their entrepreneurial journey, or maybe they're feeling they're at the wit's end. I think to me, failure is whenever you just stop trying. And if you just keep trying and maybe it doesn't work, scrap that, reevaluate, go back to the books. But at the end of the day, it's like, it's a choice. If you really want to be cut out, if you feel like you're cut out for entrepreneurship, you've got to be prepared to accept failure, but then take that as lessons learned and then reinvent that into something that the market demands, right?
And you have to know that it's going to take time and it's a process. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's funny. I can't remember who I heard say it the other day. It could have been Jordan Peterson. I don't remember who I was listening to, but so many people, when they do something negative, like smoke cigarettes, for example, mm-hmm. right on the side of smoking cigarettes, it says it's going to fucking kill you. Like, long story short, it's going to fucking kill you. But people will sit there and smoke and smoke and smoke and smoke, and they are fine with that decision, that unhealthy decision or that lazy decision or whatever situation you want to relate it to. But they're fine with that. But then all of a sudden, once they get like 90% towards death, they get this, all of a sudden you got cancer, and they're like, oh shit.
Like, now I'm gonna stop.
But it took them a long fucking time to get there. And they were willing to risk that. They were willing to take all those days of smoking cigarette after cigarette, whatever it may be. But on the flip side of that, because they knew that this was going to take them a long time, on the flip side of that, somebody goes to the gym one time or a week or does something positive, and they want to see immediate fucking results.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, negative shit takes a long time. It's the same thing on the flip side with the positivity. And I can't remember who said it, and they obviously verbalized it much more gracefully than I can.
That's a fantastic way of looking at it and understanding, you know, it is those habits. It's one thing at a time. It's building it up. And like you said, you know, the negative, but also positives is the same thing too, as well.
Yeah. And I think he said the stat for like 90%, you don't realize you're there till you're 90% of the way there. Mm-hmm. So like, you get that diagnosis for cancer, that whatever, you're 90% of the way there, and there's no turning back then. But on the flip side of it, with the fitness or with a business or whatever, you go to work for a week and you expect to be a millionaire, you expect to have this fucking company, but why don't I have 1,000 fucking customers yet or whatever it may be? Yeah. Like, no, you got to put in the time and effort. And once you're 90% of your goal, you're going to look back and say, holy shit, I've come this fucking far. And you didn't even realize it. So it's just small changes day after day and growth little by little. And I try to learn every single day from any single person I can. And that's why networking and connections are so important to me, because I learn from every single person I meet. I've learned a ton from you, from Tracy, Ryan. I mean, I could go through a fucking whole name of people.
But too, I think also on the flip side of when it comes to making those connections, it's about learning, it's about being a sponge, but then also too, like, having that awareness of how can I add value back? How can I contribute back? Because it's like a bank account, right? You can't just withdraw, withdraw, withdraw. Pretty soon you're going to be negative. Your bank's going to say, fuck you, your bank account's closed. Versus the opposite side, if you just keep putting money into it, what's going to happen? Your bank account's going to flourish. And I think that's key too when it comes to making connections. People are always thinking about what's in it for me, when you should be really thinking about what's in it for them and how can I contribute to this person, add value to them so that they want to keep me around. Because anytime I make a good connection with somebody, I'm like, how can I keep pour myself into this so this person doesn't forget who I am?
If I can't provide any value, then why the fuck does a job want me? Why do you want me on this podcast? It's funny. I was listening to Gary Vee the other day, and I was actually telling Drewby this the other day because I had heard it like that same day or right before. But a guy stood up at one of Gary Vee's speaking engagements, and he asked him, like, hey, what is the most annoying question that you just fucking hate being asked? And he was like, honestly, it's this one right here. He's like, it's not about me. It's not about what I want to talk. It's about you guys and how I can best provide value. He said, so even if I go from here to here to here to here, and I have to answer the same question and that's where people want the value at. Mm-hmm. So if that's what you're doing is providing value, and that's what you really want to do, you have to listen to your crowd or who it is that you're talking to, or that connection or network, and know how you, when I go to real estate events or masterminds for real estate, things of that nature, I can provide a lot of value for bodybuilding or for fitness, but that's not what the fuck I'm talking about. I'm there to talk to them about how I can help them sell a house, how I can help them. And it's not my favorite thing in the world. Selling houses, roofing, like my roofing company's great. We do phenomenal, but it's not my favorite thing in the world. I love business. You know what I mean? And my job is to help homeowners and to help real estate agents. And how can I help you? And how can I provide value? So
that's, you have to know your audience. So incredible. And I think a lot of people miss the mark on that because they're so focused on themselves. Like, oh, I'm so good, or oh, I do this. But instead, it is understanding who's your audience. Like, I was speaking in Dallas a couple of weeks ago. I knew that the room was real estate agents. So I tweaked my content to specifically talk to real estate agents, not because, oh, entrepreneurs, obviously, yes, real estate agents are entrepreneurs, but when you start using that terminology, it clicks and it resonates with them a lot more than if you were just talking about how great and grand you were and then talking about a topic that's going to fall on deaf ears because it's not relevant to them. And yeah, I think everyone listening in should absolutely have that. Anytime you put out a piece of content, anytime you put out something, always have your audience in mind, not yourself.
Correct. And the audience, and if you don't know your audience or have an audience yet, and you're trying to post content on social media, Facebook, Instagram, whatever, speak to the audience that you want to attract, you know, because that's who you're going to bring in. And if people don't like the shit you're saying, then go, there you go. Delete them. Bye. Like, I'm not for everybody, and that's fine. I don't want to be for everybody. I want to stand out. If I wouldn't have tattoos on my head if I didn't want to stand out, or, you know, or, it is what it is. I don't want to be like everybody else.
What's going on down here?
Good you time. Do?
No, you I was thinking about
it. Oh, you want me? I think you have to be in a gang to get that. I don't know. I don't want to get in any trouble.
Maybe I'll put a smiley face or something. I don't know.
Do that. You do it and I'll do it. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, sounds great. Like, sounds
right? Like, what is it? The two clowns, the sad and the happy little masks?
Yeah, we'll do that.
You get one, and I'll get one. That'll be gangster. We'll start our own gang.
Oh, yeah, that's it. There we go. We can start our own gang. Positive winner badass gang.
There we go.
We'll have to
do something cooler, and that we got to work on that because that sounds kind of
to be continued. Everyone listening in, that is a to be continued. Stay tuned for that.
That sounds good. No, everybody's like, I'm not joining that game. That sounds
like, yeah, that is something I do not want to be part of. Awesome, Todd. I appreciate your time. I mean, I hope everyone listening in, you guys were taking notes because there was a lot of massive value dropped. And if you guys aren't already, make sure you guys go follow Todd. It's at official Todd Price is his personal Instagram, and then at Priceless Nutrition is his nutrition line. And I'll be honest, you guys, I am not a gym rat. I will gladly say I'm not. However, the very first time I've ever taken pre-workout was Todd's. And I will say I was scared because I've never taken pre-workout before, for the fact that I was like, my heart's going to implode, or like, I'm just going to like be all crazy and then I'm going to crash. But I just, a little shameless plug for you, Todd, I took it and it's incredible. So if you guys are looking for any kind of supplements, I know there's more than just pre-workout, but there's a bunch of other cool gangster stuff. And you guys can just take a look at Todd's Instagram. He knows his shit. So he got it.
You can actually go to officialtoddprice.com and it'll have links to my Instagram, my Facebook, my roofing company, my supplement company, podcasts, everything.
So. Awesome. Well, Todd, thank you so much. And everyone listening, make sure you guys go follow. Until next time, you guys keep rocking.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Unleash Your Inner Legend. For more inspiration, make sure to subscribe by going to unleashyourinnerlegend.com. We'll see you guys next week.